This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:44 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition. And our next story is about artificial intelligence in the legal system. So this is coming because for the very first time yesterday in our country, a court in Sabah handed out sentences with the assistance of AI. And this was in the Kota Kinabalu Magistrate Court, presided over by Jessica Ombo Kakayun. What happened was the court referred to recommendations from an AI system when sentencing two defendants who had pled guilty.
So this is a case where robots are replacing human judges. The judge or magistrate is still there and still makes the final decision. The tech is only used for sentencing recommendations, like whether a person would get a fine or a jail sentence and how much. So the hope here is that sentencing will be more consistent across all courts and judgments.
So if you're wondering how far back the AI is going to look, Tan Sri David Wong, who's the Chief Justice for Sabah and Sarawak, said that the AI will be providing recommendations based on court cases from 2014 to 2019. It's also currently only used for two offences, one being rape, the other being drug possession. However, Tan Sri David said that tech will be used in more cases eventually to figure out damages and compensation. But there are already people who are unhappy with the process. One lawyer even argued that the use of AI was a breach of the federal constitution.
Yeah, so I think this is an interesting development, one that is strangely already happening. And the concern here is if in our use of it, and this is essentially running live trials of the program, that are we necessarily giving enough time to debate and to talk about how this will work, to understand it properly for also the courts and the legal community to really think about the implications of you using AI in courts?
I guess for me, my thinking is to do with the whole idea of the human touch, right? And where that enters when it comes to sentencing. Because my understanding of how sentencing works is that it takes into account multiple facets, yeah, right? It takes into account the circumstances surrounding the crime and things like that. And it doesn't just look at the consistency of how similar cases have been sentenced before. So I'm curious to know whether the AI, I guess what I want to know is what are the parameters here?
Yeah.
When the AI looks at cases between 2014 to 2019, what exactly is it scanning for? And also, when it comes to those sentencings, whether there's more information available than simply crime.
This is the average amount we found charged for these specific cases.
Yeah, exactly. You know, is it just going to be crime? What was paid and how long sentences were? Is that all the information? Is it that cut and dry? Or are there other elements that are going to enter this space? So I think that while it's good to have that consistency, it's also good to account for perhaps, hopefully this will also do something to deal with bias. Although AI has also been shown to have bias, yeah, so it's kind of a tricky one.
Which are very important questions to ask, right? Because do judges and lawyers themselves understand how this system works? Especially if, you know, we don't know where this, I don't know where this tech comes from, but let's say it comes from a private party. Can we get access to the algorithm? Can we get access to how they determine and how they make up some of these recommendations that come up? Or is that a trade secret? Because there is here no transparency and oversight how they work, and there's also no safeguards against bias and against faulty AI either.
So on the line with us is Swaran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership. Before we speak to Swaran, we would like to hear from you. How do you feel about AI being involved in court sentencing? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, back to our guest today, Swaran Singh. He actually focuses on issues relating to tech, among others. Swaran, thank you so much for joining us. So what we know right now is that the AI technology is only used for sentencing recommendations. Could you explain to us how you think this works?
The fact of the matter is, when it comes to using of the AI in sentencing, Malaysia is not the first country in the world to have done it. They have used similar systems elsewhere in the world, in US and also in UK. The way they have done it in Malaysia, the fact is I've not seen it being done in practice. And it's quite interesting. This development has taken place and it's coming from East Malaysia. It's good to see that development is happening from that side and hopefully being imported here. The manner in which it's being done, there is probably some kind of an algorithm that looks at the sentencing patterns or sentencing behavior in the last couple of years. And then based on that, looking at what has been the sentencing imposed by the magistrate or the judge, then you have like a middle ground being reached, taking into account various factors like, you know, what was the level of the crime, under which section, amount of drugs that were being accused of, the alleged accused of being carrying it. And then based on those parameters, the algorithm then suggests a certain range of sentencing that is being done. That is one way in which looking at the description of how this is being carried out would be done. That's in my opinion.
Can we expect AI to be used for more broader functions down the line?
Oh, most certainly. AI is slowly creeping into many facets of the legal profession and the legal field per se. So you find that in terms of the documentation that is being referred to in the courtroom, besides just having a software that assists in terms of finding a document, you'd also probably have AI that helps the judge in, for example, if there's a certain document that is being used or referred most often, that could come up, you know, in terms of what is being referred to during the proceedings. At the same time, in terms of how the proceedings take place in the courtroom, we have construction disputes that are, you know, very voluminous, with lots of documents being used. The AI can then help in terms of categorizing documents, in terms of are they referring to a certain party's documents, are they being, you know, referring to diagrams versus letters versus emails and stuff like that. So you would have AI creeping into different aspects of a trial. Even in terms of the case management, from the commencement of a certain writ right up to the ending of that particular case, you would have AI that would probably come in to, for example, inform the parties whether they are following the processes set in place, the timelines being put in place, also examining the role of the various judges and the parties, and, you know, coming up with algorithms to assist the parties to try to further, you know, in terms of being more efficient in the conduct of the case.
So do these functions actually aim to address any existing shortcomings within the system?
To be honest, as far as the legal proceedings are concerned, there has been a lot of improvement even without the use of AI thus far, because in the last 10 years or so, the earlier Chief Justice has taken very strong measures to implement certain KPIs on how cases move. Cases that are, you know, very old are given special treatment and they move along quicker. So I think how AI would help is in terms of making things a little bit more smoother and efficient. One of the things I think that lawyers sometimes suffer from is the transcribing of proceedings. Because Malaysia is a multicultural, multiracial, and multilingual country, you'll have that issue where one transcribing system will not work for all. And therefore, a system like an AI that picks up the different nuances, different languages, dialects, and is able to transcribe real-time proceedings that are going on would be a hugely beneficial system. And that is something that an AI is different from just an efficient software system. An AI picks up what goes on, and from that self-learns, and based on the self-learning, then it's able to improve on itself. So the transcribing would be one aspect I think an AI would be very, very useful. Another would be in terms of case management. Like, for instance, now parties don't have to appear in court, even in Kuala Lumpur. You could do it by way of e-review, a digital case management process where you save time in having to go to court all the way. You can do it remotely. So something like that, introducing an AI to further better that system would be a huge improvement in managing court time. And also how the courts right now just overrun with people and car parks, something like that would help to just ensure that only those who need to go to court will have to go. And the rest can remotely access the system and carry out most of the routine run-of-the-mill processes, proceedings that take place, you know, 80% of the time in any one day in the court complex.
Whenever we parcel out tasks to AI, there's the worry about what impact the lack of human elements might have. What are the ongoing discussions about this among the legal community?
Well, of course, there's always that fear that the technology or the robots are going to take over the world and... You know, and lawyers being the last to progress in terms of technology and the adoption of the same. I mean, we are called the dinosaurs in the industry. And so for AI to creep into the legal domain and take over some of the tasks that used to be very human-oriented, there's always that worry. But the conversations amongst the lawyers in the community is interesting because you'll have those of the older generation who sort of reminisce the old good old days where you have typewriters and fountain pens, who sort of miss that. They miss the human element. They miss the constant rapport and the camaraderie amongst the brethren of the bar compared to the younger ones who are very, very adept in terms of what of the take on the technology. And for them, AI is just a natural progression of how things move. So you have a huge gender gap, age gap in terms of what's going on in the industry. And so the conversations veer towards that, where the younger ones are saying there should be more technology, allowing smaller firms to do more compared to competing against a bigger one. And you have the older generation who are more concerned about missing the good old days and the machines doing something that is unconstitutional. And that is one of the objections that have come about in Sabah, where the lawyer feels that, you know, by delegating the task over to an AI, the judge has pretty much let the machine usurp his function, and therefore it's no longer constitutional. It's no longer a decision made by a court of law, by a human person, and therefore it is an unconstitutional takeaway of liberty of an individual. So those are the conversations taking place out there. How soon can we have more AI versus do we need the AI versus will this AI take over all the tasks that we used to do, and how will that impact our billing? So these are some of the conversations taking place in the industry.
Right. And, you know, I guess the other thing here is how are lawyers and judges being updated when it comes to their knowledge on new and upcoming tech?
There is, to my mind, there isn't one channel which is the place to go to in terms of being updated. Lawyers are getting their information updates from the bar, from the updates, from, you know, in the various circles that they go about, whereas judges get a separate training from, you know, foreign counterparts, consultants, certain, you know, members of the government bodies who sort of regularly update the government bodies, update the judges as to what is going on. So I don't see a common platform where both judges and lawyers are being updated at about the same time on the same things in relation to technology and the adoption of the same. There seems to be a rather fragmented adoption, understanding, and training when it comes to how this technology is permeating into the psyche of the legal mind in the country. So in that sense, whether a more cohesive system is needed to educate everyone, that could be something that needs to be looked at, I reckon.
Swaran, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Swaran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership, weighing in on, how AI is actually being used to assist or to recommend sentences in court. We just saw the first example of this play out in Kota Kinabalu Magistrate Court. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to know what your thoughts were. You know, are you comfortable with this? What do you think? If you're not, what would make you more comfortable, I suppose, is the follow-up question. So we do have a tweet here from James.
Tech moves at hyperspeed, placing a decent version for AI to be implemented in courtrooms is the only way it will improve.
Yeah, and I suppose that is the hope and the promise. And we will... I don't want to sound flippant. I know that it involves real people, but I think what's going to happen is... we will see. I know that sounds awful, but that's really, I think, the truth of the matter, right? We will see what happens.
Yeah, and we have to be very careful here, you know, because if in this case, for example, it is live trials, live tests, that we have to consider maybe that the AI isn't perfect and not lean too much on the tech. AI right now isn't smart yet. It's still a bit crude.
Tony wants to know, when are they starting the AI to speed up sentencing on corruption cases, which seems to be more rampant than any other? We don't know, Tony, is the short answer. If you'd like to get in touch, whether it's about the experience of living near a highway or, for that matter, AI in court cases and sentencing, get in touch. You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.